You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. We're tuning into God's frequency. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune our dials into his frequency here today. It's the word of God. God always has a word for you. All you need to do is go to where he speaks. We're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 21. This is part two of this sermon that started yesterday. If you'd like to hear it in its entirety, you can go to our YouTube page and you'll see the video from the sermon uploaded on there. It's entitled Truth and Testimony. You can go to the on-demand of this radio station right here. You can subscribe to these radio broadcasts each and every day when they come out. At 7:30 to 8, by 5 minutes after 8, this will show up right there in your inbox. So, part two, truth and testimony. We started this sermon looking at the question, why was there riots everywhere that this guy went? Because there was. Everywhere that he went, there was a riot. Here in this sermon is the mother of all riots. They were going to tear him to pieces here, and this is what led to Paul's arrest here in Jerusalem. But we're answering the question, why? Why there was riots everywhere? And I actually have an answer to that question. If you missed yesterday's sermon, I encourage you to download that. We're going to hear about the first 10 minutes from where we left off yesterday, because this sermon's only 36 minutes long. So, okay, let's get into the word. This Sunday, my associate pastor, Darren Solana, is teaching the word, and he will be preaching this Sunday. And his sermon is entitled The Confrontation of Christ. It's going to be a great one. We would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Darren's an excellent preacher, and I'm really looking forward to being on the other end here, opening up my wide margin Bible and hearing the word as well. Okay, let's get into the word now. Truth and testimony. We're in Acts chapter 21. That's Satan's number one weapon. That's his only weapon. That's his only weapon. Satan has been defanged and declawed, and he has no power and authority over you. His power is to deceive you, to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Just like the Wizard of Oz, right? That dog comes and pulls that thing. Whoop, what does he say? Huh? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You read about in the book of Isaiah when they finally expose him, the people are going to say, really? Are you the one? Are you the one that caused all this trouble? You see, everyone sees that. And yet the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's got no power over or authority over you. His power over you is to deceive you, if you let him. If you let him. Heard a little boy once, this boy's age here, Giovanni. The devil kept talking to him in the dark at night and saying, you belong to me. So the boy Giovanni's age opened up his Bible and it says, greater is he that is in me, he that is in the world. He slid it under his bed and he said, read it for yourself, devil. And that was the last time he heard that. You just shine the light of truth. That's all you got to do. You shine the light of truth. Now, let's pick it up here from the top. Verse 1. Brethren, all right, Paul's giving his testimony. That's where we left off last week.
Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. Now when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew, they kept silent, all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and I was zealous towards God as all of you are today. Now I persecuted this way, catch the capital W there for way. That was the early name for Christians. They were called the way. Like when Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the Christians were known as there. Followers of the way. So he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest who bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and I came near Damascus, right around lunchtime, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? You know, we don't know if he said, who are you, Lord? Or if his knees knocked, you know, who are you, Lord? Really? And he said to me, I am, or ego eimi Iesus. I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. So you see, when a person persecutes you, they're ultimately persecuting him. And that's why they do this. I mean, it's, again, this is a spiritual thing. I've said it before, maybe to some people in this church this past week. It's not a physical thing. This is a spiritual problem here. Can only be dealt with the spiritual solutions. Why are you persecuting me? Right out of his own mouth, this is what he said. Now Jesus also said in Matthew 25:40, he said, inasmuch as you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When a Christian gets persecuted and treated badly, then Jesus takes that personal. So when something always for you to remember too in school, Giovanni, when someone hates you and persecutes you, they're not really persecuting you, they're persecuting him. You just represent Jesus, whether you know it or not. You just represent Jesus. They're not persecuting you, though they are. But you got to peel back the layers here and find out what's really going on. They're persecuting him. And all of this life that we live is a spiritual battle that we're in. And that's where it's won. It's got to be won spiritually. This battle's got to be won on your knees. Right? Right? That's Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person. It's the force behind the person. It's won by prayer and fasting. That's how this battle is won. Prayer, fasting, recognizing where he. I don't know why we're here today. I really don't. I mean, we're looking at a testimony today. This is where the Lord has us here today. Recognizing, acknowledging truth, realizing, recognizing, acknowledging why people have a problem with truth, recognizing, realizing, and seeing how to combat that. Recognizing, realizing who we are in Christ. Right? So Jesus considers this a personal attack on himself. And that includes someone doing something to you, and that includes you doing something to somebody else who belongs to him. I read back in the Old Testament that David, before he was king, he wouldn't lay a finger on Saul. Though everyone wanted him to, he knew that God was going to take care of Saul, and he didn't need to do anything. He left it up to the Lord. He knew that God was going to deal with King Saul in his own way and in his own time, and he wasn't going to lay a finger on him. Okay, now verse 9. Now, though he's on his testimony. Now, those who were with me, they saw the light and they were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do." And since I could not see because of the glory of that light, being led by the hand by those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, he came to me. And he stood and said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you so that you should know his will, see the just one or the righteous one, and hear the voice of his mouth." So God's chosen you, Paul, so that these three things: number one, you'll know the will of God; number two, so that you'll see the Messiah; and number three, so that you'll hear his voice. Verse 15, "For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen." Now, of course, to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus, okay? That's why there's no more apostles today. Because to be an apostle, according to Acts chapter 1, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus with your own eyes. So, okay, he continues here. "You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and get baptized. Wash away your sins." Uh-oh. "Wash away your sins from getting baptized?" How does that work? Again, he says, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Not a very popular verse here today. This verse signifying the importance of baptism. All right, now several points of interest here should be noted here in these verses. First, Ananias states that it was the God of our fathers who had ordered the events on the road to Damascus. If the Jews were going to oppose and resist what had happened, they were really fighting against God and not just fighting against Paul. Second, Ananias told Paul he would be a witness for the Lord to all men. This should have prepared the Jewish crowd for Paul's announcement that he had been sent to the Gentiles. Third, Paul was to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. All right, now here's where the arguments occur. I read this fascinating commentary in preparation for this sermon, and it took me back to the day of Pentecost, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter said to the Jews, when they said to him, "What must we do to be saved?" Or, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Now, my commentary says, only Jews were ever instructed to be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, which I just read to you, and right here in Acts 22:16. Here's that commentary. Let me read this to you. "It is important to notice that only Jews were ever told to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In this fact, we believe, is the secret to understanding this passage. The nation of Israel had crucified the Lord of glory. the Jewish people had cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." Matthew 27:25. The guilt of the Messiah's death was clearly claimed by the people of Israel. Now, some of these Jews had come to realize their mistake. By repentance, they acknowledged their sin to God. By trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they were regenerated and received eternal forgiveness of sins. By water baptism, they disassociated themselves from the nation that crucified the Lord and identified themselves with Him. Baptism thus became the outward sign that their sin, in connection with the rejection of Christ, had been washed away. It took them off Jewish ground, placed them on Christian ground. But baptism did not save them, because only faith in Jesus Christ can save you. To teach otherwise is to teach another gospel. So again, as I keep repeating in here many times, the book of Acts is a historical book. Nowhere else in the Bible does the Word of God say to get baptized to have your sins washed away. Okay? Everyone good with that? The Apostle John put it this way, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, perhaps there truly was something to having a first century Jew make a public confession and repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins for denying the Savior. I don't know. All I know is that it is not required of you for the remission of your sins. Confession and repentance is what's required of you for the remission of sins. Everyone good with that? We're just trying to ascertain why it seemed to be different here for some Jewish people back in the day than it was for everyone else. This commentary has only pointed out that only Jews were told to do this, to be baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe it really was baptized for the remission of sin. Singular. Okay, verse 17. And his testimony continues. "Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.' So I said, 'Lord, they know in every synagogue I imprisoned and I beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting to his death. And I guarded the clothes of those who were killing him.' So then he said to me, 'Depart, and I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" Verse 22. "Now, and they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.'" Wow. Not fit to live because someone who was not Jewish might believe in God. I'd say that was a tad arrogant. What do you think? Really? Not fit to live because someone else might believe in God? So apparently these Jews didn't know their Old Testament very well, did they? We read these verses in the Old Testament. Paul quotes them in Romans 15:9. Multiple passages. He says, "As it is written, 'For this reason I will confess you to the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him," or "praise him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There will be a root of Jesse and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Come on, man. Read your Bibles, people. Or as Pastor Darren would say, sit down and shut up. Am I right? Or as Jesus would say, you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Better know the word of God a little bit before you go spouting off your mouth like that, really. But what morons are these guys? I mean, what a bunch of ignorant religious people. Really? You're not fit to live? Thinking that God loves you? You're not fit to live because you think that God's going to love someone other than just you. That's a tad arrogant, really, I think. Thinking that God loves people and wants them to be reconciled back to him. They said, remove this guy from the earth and he's not fit to live anymore. Because he thinks it's okay for God to love anyone other than himself and his own brothers. Verse 23, and the Jewish people's response to the notion that God loves. Imagine that. Okay, so then, verse 23, it says, they cried out and they tore off their clothes. So now they're running around here half naked. Right? I mean, you're a moron if you think this. What's gotten into you? They cried out. They tore off their clothes, and then they went, whoop! They threw dust up into the air. Because you're rip-roaring upset that God loves Gentiles. It's written right here in the Old Testament. Why are you shocked? You see, it's just like seeing all of these wacky women at the trial of this woman here, and everyone's rejoicing. This woman who killed all of her children. And all these women are out here rejoicing. If you feel that way, something's wrong with you. Something spiritually is wrong. It's a spiritual problem. It's got to be addressed in a spiritual manner. You can't just throw eggs at this person's house. It's a spiritual problem. So they cried out, they tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air. So the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. Same thing they did to Jesus, if you remember. So that he might know why they shouted against him. Now, as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Now, unbeknownst to them, Paul had a dual citizenship. He also was a Roman citizen. And it was against the law to beat a Roman citizen without due process. Now, when the centurion, this is verse 26. Now, when the centurion heard this, he told the commander, saying, take care, or you better be careful what you do, Officer Smedley, because this man's a Roman. The man's a Roman. So then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, you bet your sweet bippy I am. The commander said, well, with a large sum I obtained my citizenship. In other words, I had to bribe some politician for me to get mine. Where'd you get yours from? Paul answered, verse 28, I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was afraid after he found out he was Roman and because he had bound him. Now the next day, he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews. He released him from his bonds. And he commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. All right, now next week, or actually in 2 weeks, we'll pick it up right here. As Pastor Darren's going to bring us the word next Sunday morning on Labor Day weekend, we'll pick it up right here where we left off in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, you are high and lifted up. We thank you for these great truths you've revealed to us today. That all those who are of the truth hear your voice. Thank you for leading us and guiding us here today. Thank you for all the truth you reveal to us, me during my studies here during the week, here today to all of us as well. For pressing the importance of truth, thank you for showing us that spiritual problems have to be fought. The war's got to be waged on a spiritual level. Help us with that. We pray for those, our family members, those that don't know the truth like you, like we do, like you've revealed to us. We pray for our friends. We pray for our family. You promised that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. We pray that. We pray that everyone who is of the truth would hear your voice. And we thank you for truth. Thy word is truth. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the ears to hear. Forgive us for all the times that we've mistreated one of yours. The times that we have been mean-spirited or cruel to someone who belongs to you. We leave that sin behind here today. You promise if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us from them and cleanse us from them. We leave behind all the times that we've persecuted you by the people that we've persecuted here in the flesh. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, I'll leave you guys with this blessing here today. There's a lot of stuff in the kitchen, isn't that right, Scott? There's some bread and a fair amount of pastries in there as well. So I just encourage everyone, grab some on your way out. If you are a member of the church, hang around. If you're going to be voted in as a new member, hang around. For everyone else, I leave you with this blessing here today. Now to him, and think about this, wrap your minds around this here today. Because, like everything else, it's truth. Okay? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, world without end. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. We'll see you back soon.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent, and for today's question, let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you." Yet it seems Jesus contradicts himself in Matthew 10:23 when he tells his disciples to flee from persecution. Whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. Well, which is it, John? Should Christians rejoice over persecution or avoid it?
You know, if you wonder why Jesus said flee from persecution, maybe it would help you to know that he himself fled from persecution. When he was ministering in Judea, early in his ministry, he left Judea and he went through Samaria and he went to Galilee. And then, of course, he had that prolonged